from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
You've concluded that the Sox are going to be the all-time worst team?
The fact that you finished second or third or fourth, it doesn't mean you had a bad year.
The Sox are like an expansion.
They're not going to lose 120-plus games.
You're the biggest Sox fanboy apologist in this city.
What's the record?
They're 27-71. They have a .276 winning percentage. That would be a .250 winning percentage. That's hard to do, man. They need to lose, like, let's see, 35, basically, of the 50 games.
White Sox are Charmin soft.
Which I guess is doable.
That's. I mean, now you scare me, because that sounds very much like what they will do.
That's a lie. They need to lose like 40-plus of the 50 games. That's what it would need to be to get to 120. Okay. That's hard, man.
All right.
Losing 80% of your games is hard.
You watched them?
No, I'm a Sox fan. I torture myself. I watch it.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Marshall Harris, sports director, Mississippi State University.
My face is my credential.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Hey, what a delight to have Marshall Harris in with us this morning. And it's funny that you played that as an open, because we were talking, we came in, the Sox haven't won since last we worked together. Like, all of a sudden, the skid is on. What did they lose, 11 straight?
It is 11 in a row, Mully.
And that's the 15th time, if I'm not wrong, that they've been swept. 1-5 series sweeps, and that's a four-game set. Hard to lose four games to a team. And they lost, what did they lose, two or three of them by one run?
It means the pitching's good. The pitching's good.
It means they're losing out of habit now. It means they've entered a part of the program where that's just who they are and what they do. They just lose. And 11 in a row. Give me the yo. Holy cow. I don't know. I don't want to see.
No, you do know. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, the problem is that I feel like when I was assessing the Sox season, I kind of thought to myself, well, they can't set that record because at the end of the year, when everyone knows they're finished, the Sox will still have something to play for. You know, the idea of avoiding infamy. So I thought that might play in their favor. But what I didn't take into account is when you lose to that degree, you know what that makes you?
A loser?
That's kind of what's going on here. You're losing because you lose as much as you're losing because you're no good. I think they're a broken spirit. I think there are serious problems. And to quote Chris Getz, it's got to get better.
But, like, here's the crazy thing. They've scored, 11 runs over the last seven games, right? Yeah. Since the break.
Give me the yo.
Since the break. That's not good, right? What if I told you another team had only scored 9 runs over the last 7 games?
Well, now, that all that means is that the Cubs, and I believe that's who you're referring to.
Very good on your part.
It means that they're in a tailspin. Like, the Sox have been this bad all along. The Cubs are now, they've come back from the All-Star break and they forgot their bats. They just left them wherever they were traveling to, whatever. They left them in the closet at home. They somehow, out of sight, out of mind. They just aren't hitting. The Cubs are just flat out not hitting.
It's sad because the potential, like, do you remember the beginning of the season?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember how they started the season? Very differently than they started the 2023. slate?
Marshall, I remember when the introductory news conference for Craig Counsell.
Buzz.
You know, buzz, buzz, buzz. It was incredible. And you felt like, wow, not only did they get the best guy in the business, but they got him from their biggest opponent, and that was going to drag down the team that was currently trading their best pitchers, and boy, the Cubs were going to make a move. You felt really good about it, and the season started, and you felt that way. You felt like it was inevitable that they were going to win the division, and then they just got into the season, and oh my,
Well, here's the thing. They have made a move. It was just a nosedive.
Yeah.
And to be 11 games back of those Brewers that you just mentioned is wild.
And the season series is over, right, Dustino? That's it. So it's not like you get, you know, well, when they get that four-game set.
I feel bad for Dustin. I know he
11 back, right? 11 back of the Brewers, 5.5 now out of the wild card.
Yeah, watching the Mets and – who else? The Padres that took off?
Padres, right.
So they're both heating up now. This is like we knew coming out of the
Braves
the
are up. The Braves are up at the top of that thing. With Phillies are running away with that division, so the Braves are up in the top of that thing. And you've got the extra wild card, and you can't even sniff that.
Can't even sniff it.
But do you know who else came back? Was the Cardinals.
Correct.
Like, I thought at one point the Cardinals were the team that was dead and buried in that division, and they came back.
Well, that about 5 weeks ago, Mully, it's exactly how it looked. The Cardinals were where the Cubs were in the standings, meaning they were double digits behind the Brewers, and they were, I don't even think we were looking at wild card standings in May, but if you would have been, they were way out. And that was the only thing that kind of, well, maybe, but Mully, at the beginning, you said it. They can't hit. On top of the fact, and they never score, the little bit of runs they have scored, everything's won. It's one run at a time. There's never a crooked number.
They don't believe in crooked numbers.
It's one run at a time. It's just, it's awful.
Mm-hmm. All you need to do
Mallory Swanson, Dansby's wife, put up a crooked number in a soccer game by herself.
Yeah. She scored two goals in a minute in that game. That Trinity Rodman, daughter of Dennis, although I think they're estranged.
Are they still? Yeah. I heard that at one point.
I didn't know if they made up or not.
I think he's gone to some of her games.
I hope they do. I don't think
he was there for her childhood, Dustin. It's hard to recover from that kind of stuff. But at any rate, they had been estranged. And then like her stardom maybe brought him back. I don't know how you feel about that kind of stuff that happens in sports every once in a while. But at any rate, she scored a cracker of a goal. And then Mallory Swanson scored two. I mean, that team is loaded with firepower. They got a new manager. They brought in a woman from England who was the coach of Chelsea over there, and she's a seriously good coach, and she's already trimming the roster and getting rid of some of the older players, and that looks like a lean, mean, like machine of a team.
Well, it hasn't been much of a machine. They haven't won gold in 12 years.
And one of their biggest competition, though, they've got a bunch of issues if we want to get into that later.
Oh,
holy cow.
That's crazy.
The other North American soccer team. North American soccer team.
Yeah. Bringing it back to baseball real quick. Just the thing about the Cubs is not only are they, like, they're in last place, right? They're in last place in their division.
Yeah.
They're 11 games back of the Brewers.
They're only
11.5 games ahead of the last place team in the NL, the Miami Marlins. So, like, they're almost closer to the bottom than they are to the top.
Well,
of the
you just said it. The White Sox, in their 11, whatever it is, 7-game skid to open the second half, have scored more runs than the Cubs.
Yeah. Cubs play one less game, nine runs in six games. But
that is pathetic. I mean, that's how the offense, it's not like it's almost as if a spigot has been turned off. It's almost as if whatever water was dripping out of it had now been turned off, and they're incapable of scoring runs. It's crazy. I don't think I've seen anything like this. And I mean, to come into a week where your general manager says, basically, all right, this is it. You know, looks like we're not making any moves at all to improve this team. Like to have that, what are you going to do? How do you respond to that? Unless we have a great week. Well, okay. Well, we'll just lie down and roll ourselves in.
The problem with saying that we have our eye on 2025 is now you're telling your players, don't worry about 2024.
Right. But if you had pride, wouldn't you try to come out and force his hand a little bit when people turn on you, don't you want to show them something? I'm disappointed at the response to that statement. I also don't think, if indeed he told them, hey, you don't have to worry about this year, the fact that they took that at its face value, okay, we'll quit. That's as damning a thing as anything he might have said. I'm sorry. I just think the performance has been absolute awful. And, you know, Dustin gets down on Craig Counsell, and a lot of Cub fans are complaining about him. I don't know what you do when you got a team that can't play. And it seems like the flaw is deeper. And when a team like does not score at all, and guys, you know, well, don't you have faith at some point they're going to live up to the back of the baseball card? Isn't that the line you always hear from baseball people? Well, it hadn't happened.
That's how the White Sox have been living for the last three or four years.
Has not happened. And you're right. You know, the more I think about it, Mully, I'll raise my hand. I'm disappointed in Craig Counsell, but I'm disappointed in everybody. And it goes farther. This is now two, and you could argue maybe even 3 years running, but definitely 2 years running. You know, the big shortstop sweepstakes, right?
Sure. Okay?
Everybody knew the Cubs were going to be part of it. We did it for many days, weeks, ranking the four guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The top guy was never coming here. He was always going east. His wife wanted him east. He went to the Phillies, and he has lived up to his billing as the top guy. The other three guys have kind of last year. Swanson had a darn good year. Arguably the best of the defenders of that group last year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This year, no.
And again, he's not having a good year.
And he's paid like a guy that's supposed to carry a team. And he's been batting sixth or seventh the whole year once we got past the second or third week of May.
I wonder if he's healthy. I mean, I'm just being honest.
That could be a point. You wonder, because he's a guy, he came in here and said, I don't take days off. We should never take days off. You should want to play every single day. Funny texter, Mully, 630, saying, Dansby Swanson should take a leave of absence and go watch his wife in the Olympics, like the Bears' safety. Maybe that would help him out. So he should go watch his wife in the Olympics. And I responded back to him. I said, let's start a petition.
Oh, boy.
Let's start a petition. Let's help him get to Paris.
Yeah,
I know he can afford it, but let's help him get to Paris.
I mean, you know, she was like a 17-year-old superstar in an Olympics 15 years ago or something, or not 15, whatever, 10 years ago.
Oh, really? She's been there, done that.
She's been very good for a very long time. I don't think she needs his support. I mean, I think we all need support, but I'm saying I don't think she needs his presence to do well, as was proven yesterday. Are you going to watch the opening ceremonies? Does anyone care about that tonight?
I have an event tonight, but I will definitely DVR it, because Paris is somewhere I've never been, and I'd love to go.
Oh, Paris.
So I think this will try to motivate that.
I have not been to Paris.
Oh, my God, guys.
I told you, I studied abroad when I was in college. I could not afford to go to Paris, so I
did
my
study?
French. Quebec City.
Okay.
Couldn't afford to go across the
French
pond.
You did French in
Quebec.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I heard you guys yesterday with the reporter from NBC that's over there, that was a good guest at 9 o'clock yesterday.
Yes.
He had some good stories, but I heard you talking about, and I didn't know it. So again, it's, you know, two things about sports talk radio: inform and entertain. That's like the rule, what you want to do for the listener. Yesterday at that point, I was a listener, and hearing you, Mully, tell us that they're playing beach volleyball under the Eiffel.
I didn't know that.
I want to see that now. Oh. Like now I want to see that, because I want to see like, how's that setup going to look? That's going to be pretty cool. Right? That's like, we talk about events that maybe
it'll be unbelievable.
Like, I want to see that now, because someday I want to be under the Eiffel Tower.
It's well worth going through. I was there last year. I've been there before, though. I've been there a few times. But last year, my brother was living in Paris. He lived in Paris for a few years, and it was during COVID. So we never got it. We had to cancel a vacation. We never got a chance to go. So we actually got it in right before he was leaving Paris. So we got to go and see where he was living and walk around with him. It was absolutely one of the wildest trips I ever took to France, because we were not staying anywhere close to any tourist stuff. You know, there were a couple of nice parks nearby, but we were in an area where you literally were just like we were walking to the grocery store and going out to dinner in like a neighborhood.
Oh, so you're like in the suburbs, basically. Okay.
It wasn't a suburb, but yeah, effectively. And it was absolutely, it was so, you know, you were just so kind of mixed into the culture. It was an incredible experience.
But weren't you in Europe one year, either during or in the tail end of a World Cup, right?
I was in Paris for the World
Cup. So it was Paris again.
They won the World Cup, and I was in Paris when the French team won. And I got to tell you, that was one of the greatest experiences. We had gone on a trip. We were in London, and then we had another thing planned that fell through, so we went to Paris. Just kind of on a whim, just to get the kids to see Paris. And so we get there, and then we got there like for Bastille Day and then the World Cup. I mean, you wouldn't believe what, like, we stumbled into Paris at like the perfect time.
So it was a party going on the entire time.
After they won the match, so we went out and watched it like at some of these street cafes, and people were, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. But you just started hearing like noise, like, you know, different noise from the entire, we were staying, we were on like one of the major streets, like a, you know, an intersection street. People came out of their home, more people, everybody was walking down like downtown right through where we are. We were close to Opera, where the Opera House is. And it was, I've never seen anything like it. The whole street was covered with people. You know, running around with flags and hugging each other. And there wasn't like a car on the road because it was just all humanity. And we were sitting at this cafe watching people walk by. It was incredible, man. I mean, it was like a hint of chaos. You know, you were a little bit concerned about the kids, but for the most part, it was like the best people watching I've ever seen. It was incredible. There were like something like, you know, 3 or 4 million people just running around the streets. Anyway, I think what's interesting about this tonight is that they are doing it. The opening ceremonies are on the Seine, right, which is the river that runs through Paris. And so they're going to be going on barges. All the athletes will be on these.
Floating down the river, right?
Yeah, like this flotilla of ships. And I think that just sounds super cool and different. And, you know, Paris is the city of lights. Paris is the most romantic city in the world. Who was it? I think Gwyneth Paltrow, her father, Bruce, took her to Paris for her 16th birthday because he said he wanted her to experience Paris for the first time with a man who would love her for the rest of her life. And so my brother ended up taking his daughter to Paris.
That's pretty heavy right there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I'm saying, as a father.
You know what's so funny about that? There's like literally memes on the internet, on social media, Instagram, TikTok, and they're like taking my daughter places like all around the world so that your dusty ass son isn't the one that like impresses her.
There you go. That's it.
Like, that's a thing. So you should see. That's hilarious.
Some country songs about that too.
Yes, I'm sure. I think there's a new one.
It's pretty popular. Mr. David's not here. He probably would know it better. But there is one right now about, you know, you won't be the first to do this, that, or the other. And you know, if you break her heart, you're going to break two hearts. One of the texters will let us know the name of it, but it reminded me.
But that is a universal theme, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now, it's about lunchtime in Paris right now.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Is that accurate? Okay.
I don't know if it's six or seven hours.
I think they're 6 hours ahead, right?
London is six. Paris might be seven. I haven't looked in a bit.
What we're going to see tonight on NBC will be tape delayed, correct?
Yes.
Now, on the streaming end of it, I don't know.
Could you go watch it?
Will there be like live coverage of it? Or like if you had BBC, like will the BBC be carrying it live? Could you watch it at 2 o'clock this afternoon in a live?
Well, no, I would watch that because I got plans tonight. I can't just be at the house watching the Olympics.
No, I just think it'd be super cool to see what it looks like.
Oh, it's worth seeing it. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're right.
You can always record it.
When I'm up at
6
a.m. when
morning.
Nobody else is up, I can watch it then.
Yeah.
You know, can't mow the lawn. It's too early. So I'll watch the opening ceremonies at 6 tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I like the sort of bread and circus of the Olympics. I always have enjoyed that, kind of the opening ceremony, closing ceremony. And then you end up, like, I don't know if you make a schedule up or anything. I mean, I try to generally know that they're in the pool on Saturday, that the U.S. men are playing on Sunday, that they're in the gymnastic stuff on Sunday. I just want a general feel for what it is. But I've got, like, I go on the app and I...
Yeah, you
like
got Peacock is going to get stuff, right? Yeah. USA Network, I'm sure, is going to have a bunch of stuff. But, I mean, do you want to watch it live, or do you want to wait till NBC kind of packages it for us at 7 or 8 o'clock at night and sit with it for 2 hours before you go to bed? Like, I kind of want to do that. Like, let them, like, kind of... take me around all the events, show me all the highlights, unless there's something like getting
hyped. You want the condensed version.
If somebody's breaking a record, if the men's and women's, as an example, I always find the 100-yard dash, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, amazing. Like,
absolutely.
Fastest man in the world.
Fastest person now with, you know, men and women. They're both, my point, I guess, potentially, from what I've heard and read, both sides are potentially world record setters.
Right.
Whoever wins. But we could have, after this Olympics, the fastest woman and the fastest man in the world designated for assignment, if you will, by winning. So if that's going to be live at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I might... Okay, I want to be there. I want to see that when it happens. Plus, it's going to be all over social media.
Within like 5 minutes.
Right.
It's going to flood your timeline. Whatever significant happens, and that's probably like not just that, but like there's a crazy... like, can you imagine... if Vince Carter and Frederick, was it Frederick Weiss? If that happened today, like, it would have been over social media. Like, that would have been all we talked about for like 2 weeks. And it was all we talked about in real life for like two weeks. But social media just changes the
element.
And
the cool thing for us for this time slot is we will have live sports, right? It's just a question of are we going to be able to watch the live? Maybe I can get the apps on our phones or our tablets. We can't get them on these TVs, the apps.
No, but I mean, there'll be something on USA or there'll be something on
CNBC.
I'm going to have to become a master of the remote control over the next couple of weeks to figure all that
out. And you'll have to pay attention to what's on and what isn't on. But to answer your question, I don't mind when they take me around the horn and look at all the different games and stuff. And I know that my family will be watching it, so I'll probably watch some of that at night. But it's still baseball season. I haven't given up on baseball season yet, so I don't know that I'm going to devote myself to it. But the live games, like, I will watch the men's basketball team live. I will watch men's and women's soccer live because I know when those games are and I've got them, you know, I've got them written down and I'll be able to go and watch those games. I like to watch games like that as they're happening. I watched some rugby game yesterday. I had no idea who was playing, and it was just fantastic.
So, like, for instance, right now on USA, you can watch France versus Colombia women's soccer. Men's soccer. And then
that's good.
Women's USA soccer, apparently starting at 9, it's USA versus Zambia. So,
well, that's got to be delay, though, right?
The rules of men's soccer. I don't know about...
Women played last night, right?
Oh, they played, and that's a tape delay.
The U.S. women.
You're right, because it's not marked live. Everything else is marked...
But men's soccer, like I heard, is very different. Like, the best in the world are not playing.
No, what they do is you have three players that you can bring to your team of any players. And then you have to have 23 and under for the rest of them.
Oh, so like I like that rule. Like, okay.
Well, the idea is they want to protect the integrity of the World Cup. So they don't want all the soccer stars there. They want you to watch the World Cup to see them. So in the it's basically the young players other than three players that you can mix into your team. But like France played the U.S., their front line, they're all playing in England, weirdly enough, and they all in the Premier League, and they make a combined like $215 million among the three guys, and they're playing these collegiate Americans. You know, it's just, I mean, some of them are from the MLS or whatever, but it's
the results, I'm sure, were not good.
They lost 3-0 in the second game. But they were in the game for a while, and then they just got stuffed by, I mean, some unbelievable crackers of goals. I mean, it was pretty impressive. But yeah, they try to protect their sport in their big tournaments, and that's why they limit it in the Olympics.
So who's the biggest, like, international player that'll play in the Olympics
You know,
Mbappe won't play, right?
No, okay. No.
So the biggest of the big will not be in there.
No, okay. I mean, the U.S., we had Walker Zimmerman, who is a defender.
I don't know that name.
And no one would blame you for that. But he was the kind of the elder statesman of the group. He was in the
So no Christian Pulisic?
No one like that. Okay. No.
So the Olympics just isn't a big deal, as big a deal in soccer as it is in other
sports.
Well,
it is if your team is good and your country's good and if you know anybody connected to the team. But, it's not. And it's designed that way because they don't want it to.
Would France men be the favorite in this Olympic men's tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hmm.
They're at home and they've got, like I said, three young players that are worth a fortune. Right up front. I mean, goal scorers, all three. All right, we got to get into the pick six. We got tons of stuff to get to. We're going to pick it all apart. It is...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Marshall Harris this morning for David, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. What are your thoughts on our guy John Heyman tweeting out that Garrett Crochet's plan with the White Sox is to pitch a normal workload as a starter until the end of the regular season? But if he's traded, he would need a contract extension to pitch in October. Crochet won't pitch out of the bullpen. He believes a starter routine is best for his health. How does that information impact his trade value?
Well, I think it definitely impacts his trade value. I think you're not getting a controllable contract, a guy that's – you're getting a guy that wants an extension if you want him to play in October. So if you're gonna go out and get him, you're going to have to pay him. And that changes everything. So maybe that impacts whether they can trade him or not. I don't know. But I was very surprised to read this because I think it's the first time we've heard – I mean, I don't blame him for wanting a contract and wanting to get paid, but I think that's the first time we've heard that it would be sort of it would be a necessity. So if you're picking up a young controllable pitcher, guess what? He's not that. He's a young pitcher that you're going to have to pay in order to control him. Good for him and his representatives to take advantage of that. I think there's nothing wrong with taking control of your own career. So I got no problem with him deciding to do this. But, you know, as we had talked about him, we had mentioned that, you know, we didn't know what kind of innings limit he was on or how that would work out. But imagine, you know, that arm, left-handed power arm coming out of the bullpen, you could make a case for taking him, trading for him for just that reason. And then being able to use that to use him as a starter moving forward. He could help you out of the bullpen initially through October. Maybe you win something and then you got him as a starter next year. So I think all that's off the table. It definitely damages his trade value. And here's hoping the Sox don't trade him now.
Right. I think that's just it, right? Here's hoping the Sox don't trade him, I guess. I mean, he could be a cornerstone if and when the Sox decide to be all in. I agree with you. I can't blame Garrett Crochet and his group for trying to take advantage. You know, what he sees the day, sees the situation. But did we ever hear numbers? The White Sox did try to extend him, correct? That was a report. Marshall's laughing, right? Wasn't there?
I don't think the Sox have ever attempted to spend money.
But I'm with Molly on that.
It's just how, I mean, but I thought there was a report that the Sox during the season had talks about extending. Now, the question is, you know, how much and how long did they offer? It was supposedly rebuffed. They didn't engage.
That was like white noise is what that was.
Okay.
I'm just saying there was a report. You're right. That said they approached him about an extension. It didn't say that they talked about it. They took his temperature. It was just before they launched him, they were going to have you believe that.
Okay.
I thought that was utter and complete garbage.
Right. Now, I wonder if he is given the contract that he would want, the extension that he would want, would he then be willing to be a bullpen guy in the postseason? Or is he serious about starter only? I don't like that.
I
think you should just do what the team wants you to do, assuming you're getting paid what you wanted to get paid.
Okay, so let's go through these the series of questions. My thoughts about him wanting to pitch the normal workload as a starter until the end of the regular season, absolutely. Garrett Crochet knows that he's a couple of years away from free agency. He knows that he's doing the thing because of not just his success in terms of ERA and strikeouts, but he looks like that guy, a power pitcher who is the number one trade target right now available. Obviously, he's been available for a while because he's on the White Sox. If he's traded, he says he needs a contract extension. This is a smart power play by his group, his agents. Says he won't pitch out of the bullpen. To be fair, I was watching an interview he did back in spring training. And he said that, I need the starter's routine. It's the best for my health. This isn't like something new. This isn't some Johnny come lately stuff. I think, though, if he did sign a big deal, he would do whatever is told, because at that point, now you've got the money. The whole reason he doesn't want to do that is because of his health.
Right.
You've got the money. You could do it whatever you want with me because I'm getting my paycheck, my payday. But there's talk that him getting extension 2 years out from free agency, he could earn up to $100 million. And guys, I don't think that changes if he's trading the offseason. I think he's still going to get a very rich extension.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
There he is, Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. We expressed our opinions yesterday about whether Caleb Williams should play next week in the Hall of Fame preseason game against the Texans. Does it influence you reading our guy, Biggsy, and you just heard him there, right, that the last first-round QB to start in that game was Teddy Bridgewater back in 2015? If teams aren't going to do it, why should the Bears?
Yeah, unfortunately, it does influence my opinion because the way that they did Justin Fields even and kind of minimized the importance of the preseason schedule, which, hey, they've got four games instead of three like most teams. It's hard for me to see them do it. Do I want him to play? Of course I want him to play. I'm like everybody else. I want to see what this guy has against real competition. But looking back at the history of Matt Eberflus since he's gotten here, looking at the history of rookie quarterbacks in this game, I think it's probably unlikely. He'd come out, play a series or two, but I just don't believe it will happen, unfortunately. And, you know, that's their prerogative. You know, fans want what the fans want, but the Bears are going to do what the Bears are going to do.
Hard Knocks will get Caleb Williams on that field a week from yesterday. We're going to have, if I remember right, Mully, you were probably at the game. We were all working together at the time for sure. When Mitch Trubisky was drafted by the Bears, it wasn't the Hall. Now, again, remember, part of
this is the Hall of Fame.
This is the Hall of Fame game.
Because that's the first of all the preseason.
Of all the games. Yes. So this isn't necessarily how every team has handled a freshly drafted quarterback in round one in their first preseason game. I think you also have to look at that if you're looking for a roadmap. But I remember Mitch Trubisky specifically, if I remember, he handed the ball off three times. It was a three and out. He handed the ball off three times. And, you know, this Bears fan was ticked off, right? That's all we got. You wanted it. You wanted more. If I remember right, that's what it was. And we went on and on about this back then. I just think we talked about it yesterday. I think it's important to go through the whole pregame thing in your pads, like all of it, how you warm up. You know, if you're where are you? You know, are you leading the warm ups? You know, are you? I think it all matters. Three plays. I don't care if he puts the ball in the air. I think it'd be a mistake to not see him at all.
I have been to hundreds of football games, preseason, regular season, years and years and years, and I've been to thousands of sporting events over the course of my lifetime. And I am not Les Grobstein, and I don't remember individual games like that. I just don't. If someone starts talking about a game, maybe I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But I have been to games, written about games, taken storylines to, you know, talk to people afterward, and I couldn't tell you what happened in the game or how. I just, my mind doesn't work that way. I just don't remember events like that. So I can't help you on that one, Dustin. And I was there. I remember we were talking about it, but I don't remember what the hell happened, sadly. But as far as the answer to this question is concerned, it means a hill of beans if Caleb Williams plays in this game. If their left tackle cannot practice with pads on, and then that means he's not going to play come the season opener. I mean, listen. Is Will Smith Jr. not playing? You're going to guarantee me that Daniil Hunter is not playing, because the last thing you want, they've got a couple of stud defensive ends. Can we agree that everybody's going to stay out of the game and no one's going to play hard because our quarterback's going to be out there? I when the offensive line is compromised, if this kid is to play in the preseason, everybody's got to be playing with him. He's only playing against the first team in practice. They want him going against the first defense. If that's the case, then you have to have the first team offense around him to play. Do you want all those guys playing in a Hall of Fame game at a high school stadium in Canton, Ohio? I don't. So I just don't care about this game even remotely. And I understand the idea of a dress rehearsal, but the fact that other teams aren't doing it, I think it gives you permission.
That's a wonderful question. I will take some time with it.
Steve Stone, 9 o'clock, talking White Sox with you guys. Are you pleased for Dylan Cease that he produced just the second no-hitter of his this season with a 3-0 victory over the Nationals yesterday out in D.C.? Do you feel any jealousy since he was once with both? Remember, both Chicago teams. How about the play where the ball bounced out of Bogaerts' glove only to be caught by Jackson Merrill?
I if you went back and watched that play, man, I mean, that was so super cool. And in order to get that sort of a thing happen for you, need plays like that. You know, the Burley, we just had the 15-year anniversary of the perfect game. You needed that catch. You know, you need certain things to happen to have those moments of history. And certainly the Xander Bogaerts, he's backing up. He's going for the ball. He catches it. And it's like he got it, and it bounces right out of his glove and right into the other guy's glove. It was unbelievable. And it was in the air for, like, an extended period of time. It was almost like they threw the ball to each other. It was just super cool. I'm really happy for Dylan Cease. I have a lot of time for Dylan Cease. He was a great young pitcher, a great player to watch. I'm glad that he's doing as well as he is. Tinge, just a hint, maybe, of jealousy. It's part of me, like, why couldn't that guy be here? It's kind of like watching, you know, Chris Sale do well. Yeah, you know, Chris Sale's got a World Series trophy. Yeah, that's a pity. You knew he was good when he was here, but they couldn't build a team around him. Kind of the same feeling with Dylan Cease. But yeah, like a tinge, just a little hint of Chicago bitterness.
Yeah, Chicago bitterness, I think, definitely is a good way to put it, Mully. And that's why I emphasized, you know, in the question, both. A lot of people forget that he was a Cub. Like, But he was also like kind of like the throw-in. I mean, that was something where the White Sox actually got it right. Like, I think they demanded that he be part of it. Like, they wanted Eloy.
It was Quintana, and they got Eloy in him.
Right, right, but they Dylan Cease was like the sweetener that pushed it over the top for that deal to happen. Sure. You know, I just think it's interesting. The Padres had to, like, they thought about taking him out. Like, it's so different.
It doesn't happen anymore.
So, yeah, baseball
is
just so different.
Right. When the first
Skeens,
one.
Yeah. Right? And then whether you leave a guy in or take a guy out. Now Skeens has finally pitched into the eighth inning for the first time and then lost.
Taking losses.
Yeah, and then took a loss for the first time since college. But sure, you know, why not? Why not be happy for Dylan Cease? He didn't leave in a bad way. He left because, like we talked about earlier, the White Sox weren't ever going to pay him.
Yeah. That's the sad reality of the situation. If you're a White Sox fan, you understand why Dylan Cease is in another uniform. And, you know, they've got some good parts back for him.
Yeah.
Good assets. Some guys who have already shown some serious promise at the major league level. Of course, I'm pleased for Dylan Cease. He didn't control where he played. He didn't control whether he got traded or not. He's out here pitching. It's good to see him living up to the billing, you know, as a guy who finished second in the Cy Young voting just a couple of years ago in the American League. And now, if he continues pitching like this, he's going to be talked about in the same type of play that he's provided for the Padres in the National League Cy Young award race. But he has looked dominant over his last three starts. Right. Two hits allowed. Over three starts.
22 innings, three hits.
Right, and like striking out everybody.
No runs.
Yeah, so he looks like the guy that the White Sox hoped would lead their staff for years and years to come, but we knew that was limited because of the fact that they're not going to pay anybody when those free agent years hit. As far as jealousy, nah, because I know what it is. I know what it is. As a lifelong White Sox fan, I have accepted This is how things work for my ball club. This is standard operating procedure. And the play where the ball bounced out of Bogart's glove
awesome.
Into Jackson Merrill. If you go back and look even at the instant replay, it looks like something out of a movie.
It does.
So
you're right.
I enjoyed every aspect of it, and I'm happy for him. And you know what? Maybe some of these guys that he got, maybe somebody could throw a no-hitter
Dylan
in a White Sox uniform someday.
A twin.
Oh, see? And form and entertain.
Brother. Yeah.
Go ahead and ask your question because I'm not going to address this every single day.
Do you consider White Sox general manager Chris Getz quotes to Darryl Van Schouwen of the Sun-Times yesterday regarding Pedro Grifol and his staff to be ominous or simple a statement of fact? Grifol praised the group's work ethic but added, quote, there's parts of the team to feel good about and parts we don't feel good about, and we certainly need to see progress in all of these areas. I know they're staying at it. They're focused, but we can certainly need to start seeing progress as the season comes to an end in the next couple of months, end quote. Do you believe Pedro can save his job?
Pedro Grifol is, I think the proverbial term is dead man walking. He can't save his job. It's too far gone. I can't believe I'm saying this. They literally might set the record for most losses in a Major League Baseball season. When we talked last, as you guys mentioned, last week in the All-Star break, they had a 276 winning percentage. Since then, they've lost every game. They now have a 257 winning percentage. 250 is the all-time lowest mark. So they're heading that direction. And that's with some strong pitching, by the way. But it hasn't mattered because the offense is, well, deplorable. 11 runs over 7 games since the All-Star break ended. Yeah, I can't see a way he can save his job because the team is not good and they're not going to improve enough. And he honestly doesn't have the talent to be able to win games. So, yeah, Pedro Grifol is dead man walking. I think it is ominous. Anything that's said about Pedro Grifol at this moment, we're talking about a guy that we know is going to be unemployed at the end of the season.
Shoot, Marshall, the Cubs would love to have 11 runs since the All-Star break. They might have won.
Well, they would have over six
games,
though.
They might have won a series or two.
Or two.
Had they scored 11 runs in those six games in total. Again, we talked about, was it yesterday, Mully, or was it Wednesday that we talked about the future of that job and some names that might be available. And one of the names is already off the board, right?
He's
been re-signed by the Red Sox. Maybe we helped Alex Cora get new paper. Maybe that pushed it over the top. Well, the Mully and Haw Show are, you know, referencing him to go to the White Sox. We better get things done for him. Can he save his job? But, okay, we talked to start the show out this morning about the value of the manager, right? Like, is it his fault that they're on pace to lose over 100 games? Or is it Chris Getz's fault? Or is it actually Kenny's fault and Jerry's fault that they're
there's enough blame to go around.
Whose fault is it? Pedro's not hitting. Pedro's not pitching. Pedro's not the trainer to keep these guys healthy. So they have to do something, though, to give White Sox fans hope for 25. But if you're a White Sox, go and embrace it. Embrace being the worst ever. I would actually root to be the worst ever because that's going to make change happen faster. You can't be the worst ever and not have change. Embrace being the all-time worst team in the history of baseball.
Pedro Grifol's record as a manager. 88-179. The White Sox are the only team that would have hired this guy, and the White Sox are the only team that would have kept this guy. 88-179. And this can't be correct, but the rumors are that he's reportedly paid $5.5 million a year. That cannot be correct. He made like $375 last year, and they claim that his salary is kicked up. That just can't be right. So I guess what I'm saying is, just given the reported salary, even if it's $375, you cannot feel bad for the fact that he is, as you say, dead man walking. He's doomed. I mean, his managerial career is doomed. I'd be very curious to see if he gets another bench coaching job, quite frankly, because this is about as bad as you can be. And I think if we did a survey and we talked about worst managers in Sox history, he'd be in that photo. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find many worse than that. 88-179. You know, I don't believe there are many managers ever that have lost 179 games without winning 100. But there he stands, and he's definitely gone at the end of the year.
Final Destination. That's the movie series.
How do you feel about Keenan Allen being ranked 51st in the NFL Top 100 list? Will he lead the Bears in receptions this year? If not him, then who?
My God, they ranked him Butkus. I mean, that's unbelievable. To be 51 on a list of the top 100 players and you play for the Bears now? It's like huge. That's fantastic. I still think, and maybe I'm just stubborn about it, but I still believe that our guy will be the number one receiver for the Chicago Bears. But this just rattles home how good Keenan Allen has been in his career and how good he was last year. The Bears are blessed to have him, and I think that he's going to be, if you watch him play, Keenan Allen is open even as we speak, and Keenan Allen will break a tackle once he gets the ball. So he's a third down machine, and he's a guy that can get extra yardage after he gets the ball. But I think DJ Moore is going to be their leading receiver. It'll be fascinating to watch. I just hope they can get the ball to everybody.
Well, that's what's interesting is, can they get the ball to everybody? Who will become kind of the safety net, if you will, for Caleb Williams? And if you weren't going to, because of how good we're all hoping these wide receivers to be, maybe from a number of receptions, maybe it is Cole Kmet, just because when you're looking to throw to the wide receivers, it's going to get spread out more often. I think Kmet will be the tight end who catches the most passes.
Could be Gerald Everett.
Could be, but probably could be. Listen, anything is possible, right? I think we should just all enjoy the fact that the balls are actually going to be a modern offense for the first time in who knows how long, or at least attempt to be a modern offense in the, for the first time in who knows how long. Just going backward really quick, if I could. So the first Mitch Trubisky game was 8-10 of 2017 at Soldier Field against the Broncos. Mike Glennon actually started the game. Trubisky, 18 of 25, 166 yards and a tutty.
His
first preseason game.
Oh, preseason.
First preseason. Just going back to that question about Caleb Williams, I thought that was interesting.
Feel great about Keenan Allen being ranked 51st in the NFL top 100. That sounds about right. There's a lot of good players. I'm not sure how many receivers are above him on that list. I do know that he did work last year. Another 1,000-yard season, another 100-catch season. DJ Moore had 96 catches last year. It will be interesting. I'm kind of, this is a complete like guessing game, right? Because you don't know how much, A, they're going to throw the ball with a rookie quarterback back there, how much it's going to be spread around, because you've got, like you mentioned, Gerald Everett along with Cole Kmet and, of course, Rome Odunze. And it seems like that's a lot of targets. So is anyone even going to get 100 catches in this offense next season? But I'm going to say that DJ Moore is going to lead them in receptions. I just am. I think DJ Moore is the guy. I'm not saying Keenan Allen's not the guy. I think you have a 1 and a 1A situation.
Yeah.
And then Rome Odunze, depending on how much he's on the field, if they're going to go two tight ends more often than what we think, like it, a lot of questions to be answered. I like Cole Kmet as a safety valve sort of, and you know, even out of the backfield, there could be a lot of passes thrown. So you add that up. I'm going to go DJ Moore, but I won't be surprised at all if Keenan Allen leads this team in receptions.
You know, Keenan Allen is also the only one of these guys in a contract year. So if he wants to get paid, he's going to need to put up some numbers. It's just going to be interesting if that dynamic comes into play in any way.
Well, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, good guy all around. He'll be here at 8 talking Cubs. What did you make of Mallory Swanson scoring back-to-back goals in the 24th and 25th minute to help lift USA Women's Soccer to a 3-0 victory in their first game of the group stage at the Olympics? Is Mallory the best player in her sport in her own household? Is she better soccer player than her husband Dansby is a baseball player?
There's no question. She's... She's done before she got hurt and missed, you know, a year. She was already doing these types of things for the national team on the world stage. And like the Chicago Red Stars are fortunate to have her and now keep her as her husband, Dansby Swanson. You know, they've only been married since 22. But, you know, listen, she is unbelievable. If you've watched her play, whether it's for the Red Stars or whether it's for the national team, she's always been super dynamic. So, yeah, she's a better player at her sport than the guy that's batting 217. Obviously, it's an off year for him. And obviously, he's got gold gloves.
Is it?
Listen, it's... Well, yeah, he's a lifetime 250 hitter. So, 217 is... That's more than just a bad year. It's a 634 OPS. That's the worst in his career. He's only been under 700 OPS one time. I think that was 699. So... Bottom line is, if you watch soccer, even if you're a casual watching soccer, Mallory Swanson, even when she's not scoring, is doing dynamic things with a soccer ball. She is one of the best in the world at what she does.
For the Twitchers, Mallory Swanson greater than Dansby Swanson at professional sports. Yes. Also, if you just tuning in for the pick six, we had a great texter who suggested that maybe Swanson should take some time off and go watch his wife play in the Olympics. I love that idea,
yeah,
by the way.
I love that idea.
And also for that, we were talking about Olympic coverage. It starts live 11 a.m. today on NBC5. They're going to preview flotilla? The opening ceremony. They're going to carry the opening ceremonies live. Then they'll do a recap at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you're planning your DVR, like we were talking about, live at 12:30. NBC5 will be the opening ceremonies. A recap of the opening ceremonies, 9 o'clock tonight. So if you haven't left for work, or if you can control it with your phone or some kind of app,
or if you're home from work,
or if you're working from home, and it's a Friday. Yeah, so just a programming note, inform, right? We talk inform and entertain. So information, 11 a.m. NBC 5 Chicago, a preview of the opening ceremony.
LeBron and Coco Coffin them.
I feel like this is mean-spirited, even asking the question if she's better at her sport than he is.
Why is it?
Because he's having a bad season, and Dustin is so amused by it, like, make him go see her, make him go support her. She doesn't need his help to be great at what she's doing.
No.
Simone Biles doesn't need Johnny Nolan's help.
But maybe some of her greatness would rub off on him when he got back.
Yeah, see.
Like, does Simone Biles need Jonathan Owens' help?
I feel like he's not at full strength. I think he's better than he's been. I think that he plays in a significantly more lucrative sport than she does. So, obviously, he's a very successful all-star level player. But he's not the best shortstop in baseball, and she's one of the best forwards in women's soccer. So I think that the very fact that, and again, it's the size of the sports, all that stuff you have to take into account. I think we can call her a phenomenal athlete and a great player without having to insult him to get there. I think that if you're a professional scout in any sport, if they ever have kids, sign them up. I think that the two of them together, that's an incredible powerhouse. You got eye-hand coordination, eye-foot coordination. She's a great runner. I mean, they've just got a lot of things going for them. I think this should be more celebratory of what she was able to do than sort of derisive of him. So that's why I hesitate. All right, that is the pick six. We've got the extra point next, and it's a good one, although Dustin's been trying to steal the thunder of it since basically we got on here.
That's okay.
It's Mully and Haw with Marshall Harris this morning on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Have you begun putting that sports calendar together in terms of must-watch Olympic sports over the weekend? You plan on watching the athletes travel along the river tonight on a huge floating device? And how about the Olympic ceremonies? You get ready to watch that live? Fire up the DVR. Is there anything you definitely will not miss?
Basketball? Sorry.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to miss that.
Yeah, so basketball is something I'm not going to miss. You just told me I can watch at 11 o'clock, apparently, the opening ceremony, so I guess I'll have that on the
pre-ceremony stuff at 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. So I'll watch whatever is on where I am, but I'm not going to be in the house a ton, like, at night anyway. So maybe I'll see more stuff now that I know that they're doing stuff all day long in the daytime because they're 6-7 hours ahead of us. I have not put together my calendar. I got to watch the Cubs and the White Sox. Okay. That's what I got to do.
Well, I do need to watch the Cubs as well, as Mully likes to say.
Not the White Sox?
No, contractually obligated. I leave that to Mully. I try to watch the Cubs. Mully tries to watch the White Sox.
And I watch the try Cubs
being the outer word.
I didn't say you didn't. I'm just saying, like, when you have to divide and conquer, that's at least how I feel. I feel like I'm holding up my part of the bargain by watching the Cubs game, so I will continue to do that. Sunday is the men's basketball. I don't have the time, but they're playing Serbia, right? Don't they open with Serbia?
Yeah, they do.
Right? So that's Sunday. So that will be something you'll want to tune in for, no doubt about that. But again, I think Sunday night it'll be cool. Like Sunday night, whatever NBC has packaged up, I think will be must watch because that'll also tease us for the week ahead. Like this is what happened over the weekend since we started. Here's what's happened today, and here's what you have to look forward to next week. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Answer the question. I'm excited, and to be honest, we all need a break from this baseball season. So the Olympics are coming at the perfect time.
I'm enjoying the baseball season. Shohei Ohtani's out here hitting home runs.
Yeah,
Paul Skeens is showing off.
I think he means the Chicago.
Okay, local. Yeah. Oh, Dylan Cease is throwing no hitters, right?
Yeah.
Other teams are making moves to improve their offense. Oh, okay.
So it is 1:37 right now, and I'm sorry, 1:38 right now in Paris. So it's 7 hours ahead of us.
Okay,
Just to so we can all set our clocks. Look, I know this is crazy, but yeah, I will be watching a lot of the Olympics. I love the idea of getting off work and going home and being able to watch some games on television. It's great. I had a great month of soccer with the Euros, where the games were on at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was just perfect for me, 11 and 2. And I loved it. It didn't interfere with my baseball season or anything like that. I love these games being on when they're on. I will be checking. I mean, I have a general sense of going to the pool, going to the gymnastic floor when that stuff's going on. What I don't know and what I want to know is, I swear to God, I'm not joking about this, I do want to see what Olympic breakdancing looks like. I'm curious. It's a new sport this year. What the hell is that? I think that if you watch the Olympics enough, you will see something like curling. And you'll be like, what is, like, this is so weird. Like, what, why are they sweeping? And the next thing you know, we're calling around trying to plot a curling trip, because that's a super cool thing to see and to want to do. And I think that kind of thing happens with different Olympic sports. I don't think we're going to be doing any breakdance tournaments. I'm just not feeling that we're all geared toward that. But I'm interested that there are some new sports in this. I'm interested. What was the sailing thing we heard about yesterday? I want to watch that. The 10-second sailing or whatever the heck it is. There's a local athlete involved in that stuff. I want to know what the local athletes are doing. So,
is that canoe slalom?
Is that it? Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
See? Or canoe sprint. Canoe sprint is what you're referring to.
Is that what I'm referring to? Okay. That was Alex told us about that yesterday, and I was kind of like, wow, that sounds kind of cool. It sounds like I have been at the racetrack, sadly, mainly like very late at night when they start doing that, you know, whatever it's called, the real fast sprints. So you're like betting on a race. You're looking at like the horse is trying to figure out. Next thing you know, you're watching like a 15-second sprint. Do you know what that is, Dustin? You ever seen that? It's hysterical. And I had money on it. Like, what? How did I get
caught
up in it?
Why did you have money on it?
Because it was late at night and I'd been out gambling all day. That's why. Not out of any rational explanation. But there are different Olympic things that I will definitely look in on. And there are the standards that I will definitely be watching. And I always have enjoyed Olympic boxing. And I think that the other thing is, like, I'm not a big rugby guy, but if you're watching rugby against two nations, it doesn't even matter who they are. If you're watching a water polo match against two nations, you can have a great time. It can be super cool. Even if you don't know anything really about the sport or about the players on the field or whatever. I'm all over the Olympics. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
I think, yes, but we live in Chicago, and there's lots to do outside in the summertime.
So, well, that's true.
It's like, if I lived in other parts of the country, I might have more appointment viewing than what we're talking about right
and
now.
And that's a fair comment. But, I mean, and, you know, the other thing is, like, we got to monitor the Bears. We got to, you know, we're going out to practice next week.
Also.
We got to, you know, there is a lot on our sporting calendar that we have to be aware of. But it's just sort of in-between stuff, like filler stuff, that's super cool. And I'm sure that there'll be some storyline or something that we'll get into connected to this that is unexpected at this moment.
Yeah. And I look, I'm excited to see what happens and then like that recap show at night. And
I want us to win. I want to win the Olympics. I don't just want to be in the Olympics. I want to see the U.S.
Did we have the most medals last time?
I don't think so. I don't think we've won in a while, but I want us to win. And I mean, I will in my mind justify that others are cheating and I actually did win.
Indicative of where we are as a nation.
There we go. That's it. It should be fun. Quarter horses. Thank you, buddy. Somebody just checked in with the quarter horse. Okay. All right. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Marshall Harris this morning. The number 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score. Ladies! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. So the Bears are in training camp, and they're getting the pads on today. And the Bears are behaving themselves, and they've got some good people up there. They've got a lot of good high character guys. The more I'm watching the Giants show, you know, the Hard Knocks on the Giants, and seeing Roma Dunze being interviewed, etc., the more I like him. what a really good guy he is. I think he's going to be a great player for the Bears. But I don't know if you saw this yesterday, that in Raiders camp, so the Las Vegas Raiders, they have a Kermit the Frog doll that they have with them in camp.
Yeah, a fan brought it.
A fan brought it. It's got a Mahomes shirt on it, and they're all like, they're in stitches. They're all falling down laughing as they're doing various like attempted impersonations of Kermit, because Patrick Mahomes has a very unique sounding voice, and he, you know, has a voice that where he sounds like Kermit the Frog, and so they're making fun of Patrick Mahomes as they prepare for their season. See, like the only problem with that
is a problem.
The minor problem is that Patrick Mahomes has a career 10-2 record against the Raiders. He's in their division. He wins the division year in and year out.
Eight straight
division titles. Are you allowed to make fun of a guy if he owns you? If he's your owner? It'd be like making fun of a certain Packers quarterback when he kind of had your number all those years.
I mean, the Bears
cannot like him. If you choose not to like him, that's fine, but are you allowed to kind of make fun of him?
Bears fans make fun of Aaron Rodgers all the time. We all actually make fun of Aaron Rodgers all the time because of some of the stuff that he has said over the years.
He's got it coming.
Some of his beliefs and everything else. As far as the Raiders, who finished 8-9 last year in that division, I wouldn't do it. I mean, not only are the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, 10-2, and that's one of two teams he's already got double-digit wins over, the other being the Denver Broncos, also in that same AFC West. But last I checked, he's got 3 Super Bowl wins, 4 appearances, and the last win came, Mully, remind me where that came?
Yeah, it came, I believe, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's where the Raiders play.
In their building, he won the world title over the Niners.
If it's the Death Star, he is Luke Skywalker coming through and blowing that thing up.
He's got a certain Darth Vader type dominance to him, right? I mean, I know he's a much kindler, gentler soul, but I'm just saying that is, I just don't know that you make fun of somebody that has your number. Like, beat him on the field, and then maybe we could have a conversation.
They did twice.
Yeah, it's not as many as you think. It'd be nice to see the Bears beat the Packers twice. Because, as you know,
it'd be nice to see the Bears beat the Packers once.
The Flower has never lost to the Bears.
It'd be nice to see the Packers lose to the Bears just once. Yeah. Like, yeah, before you can get to two, you got to count to one.
Le Fleur.
It's tough, man. It's tough out here when you have division rivalries and extra bulletin board material. And yeah, I wouldn't do it.
No, I would be careful with that stuff. We have a texter here saying that he's rooting for Le Flop and the spoiled brats to get their butts kicked. Now, I'm guessing that's LeBron and the NBA crew.
Why are they spoiled brats? Is he mad because LeBron's the flag bearer?
I don't understand.
Along with Coco Gauff?
I don't understand. I don't understand that. I'm really hopeful that the U.S. will dominate in the basketball competition. We need as many golds as we can get. And LeBron, say what you want about him, has been phenomenal. Thus far, he dominated the last two games, and he pulled that team out of
South Sudan.
I mean, you can make fun of South Sudan. They don't win that game unless LeBron takes over at the end of it. And that was certainly the case against Germany. He totally took over that game at the end of it. And you know, good for LeBron. It's good that he's playing, and it's good that that the U.S. men are as good as they are. I don't know if you watched. I think it was Kevin Durant. He did a news conference yesterday with
Steph Curry.
And it was very funny because they asked him, like, who are you most looking forward to playing? And Steph said, well, whoever we face in the gold medal game. And Durant's like, hey, that's a great answer. And Steph's like, thanks, man. It was so fun. But they were saying, like, Steph said something like, the dream team played against 6 NBA players when they were in the Olympics, and we're playing against 6. Well, let's take a listen.
Who do you think will be the biggest star this basketball tournament?
The biggest star?
Star? What, individual player?
Yes.
Giannis?
Giannis, maybe? Jokic? No,
he's saying outside of the U.S. Options.
Yeah, yeah. A game is global now, man. So all these guys are huge stars in their own ways, you know.
Did you see that thing where they said the Dream Team played against nine?
Yeah, right.
Nine NBA players. It was like 60-something.
Yeah, we're playing against 65, 64 NBA players now. And, you know, so they're all the best of the best in the world, you know. So,
Who are you looking forward to the most to play against?
Whoever's in the gold medal game.
Good answer.
It is a good answer.
But it's interesting because I believe Canada, their entire team is NBA players.
Right. No, Canada's legit. That's why that gives
them
a pause.
They got 22 NBA players.
But the biggest, he was wrong about who the biggest star will be.
Well, he was outside of the U.S.
No, he's still wrong.
Okay, go on.
It's Wimby. What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? And he's the biggest star at the game.
Yeah, because he's
French.
Yeah.
And it's a return to Paris for Wimby. And it's a big deal.
Let me tell everybody, if you're a casual fan or if you're diehard, you already know this is to be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Wimby might be the best player in the NBA next season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a problem. And just to see where he went from the start of the season to the end of the season and, you know, getting used to the NBA. And he's been playing international basketball his whole life, so yep. He understands that. So I'm interested to see what he does in this tournament. Team Canada is a problem. The U.S. has been in a lot of trouble. Like, these people who are like, so this team is better than the Dream Team.
That's nonsense.
And I'm like,
no.
Let me tell you something. Bam Adebayo is a great center, right?
Yeah.
Did you not see Patrick Ewing play? You can go position by position, however you want to do it.
I don't know what the final number will be if there are 10 guys on this team that'll make the Hall of Fame, but there were 11 on the Dream Team in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And like one of them was the most competitive player ever played. One of them was, you know, I was saying the morning after the South Sudan game, Charles Barkley would have elbowed the South Sudanese in the chest like six times.
Yeah, and just
he'd have taken out
try to run over people.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's disrespectful, I think. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I know these young people haven't seen the Dream Team.
Let's see them dominate. Let's see that happen. It seems to me that what we saw in the warm-up stages was a team that wasn't interested in. There were a lot of business decisions. There were a lot of guys. You know, they could use an Alex Caruso, a floor burn guy. They did not close down shooters. It was really a very upsetting to watch. But
it was interesting to watch. It was like, oh, y'all look real pedestrian out here.
That's it. You really don't care, do you?
I think, though, when it starts up, I think maybe Joel Embiid and company will play a little bit you know,
and you
tougher.
Get into more of the role players on that team. All right. We've got a lot to get to. We're going to get to our guy, Brad Biggs. Biggs time next on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We got on here.
That's okay.
It's Mully and Haw with Marshall Harris this morning on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Have you begun putting that sports calendar together in terms of must-watch Olympic sports over the weekend? You plan on watching the athletes travel along the river tonight on a huge floating device? And how about the Olympic ceremonies? You get ready to watch that live? Fire up the DVR. Is there anything you definitely will not miss?
Basketball? Sorry.
That's the answer. Yeah. I don't think we're going to miss that.
Yeah, so basketball is something I'm not going to miss. You just told me I can watch it at 11 o'clock, apparently, the opening ceremony. So I guess I'll have that on
the pre-ceremony stuff at 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. So I'll watch whatever is on where I am, but I'm not going to be in the house a ton, like, at night anyway. So maybe I'll see more stuff now that I know that they're doing stuff all day long in the daytime because they're 6-7 hours ahead of us. But I have not put together my calendar. I got to watch the Cubs and the White Sox. Okay. That's what I got to do.
Well, I do need to watch the Cubs as well, as Mully likes to say.
Not the White Sox?
No, contractually obligated. I leave that to Mully. I try to watch the Cubs. Mully tries to watch the White Sox.
And
I didn't say you didn't. I'm just saying, like, when you have to divide and conquer, that's at least how I feel. I feel like I'm holding up my part of the bargain by watching the Cubs game, so I will continue to do that. Sunday is the men's basketball. I don't have the time, but they're playing Serbia. Right, don't they open with Serbia?
Yeah, they do. Right?
So that's Sunday. So that will be something you want to tune in for, no doubt about that. But again, I think Sunday night it'll be cool. Like Sunday night, whatever NBC has packaged up, I think will be must watch because that'll also tease us for the week ahead. Like this is what happened over the weekend since we started. Here's what's happened today, and here's what you have to look forward to next week. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Answer the question. I'm excited. And to be honest, we all need a break from this baseball season. So the Olympics are coming at the perfect time.
I'm enjoying the baseball season. Shohei Ohtani's out here hitting home runs.
Yeah,
Paul Skeens is showing off.
I think he means the Chicago.
Okay. Local. Yeah. Oh, Dylan Cease is throwing no hitters. Right.
Yeah.
Other teams are making moves to improve their offense. Oh, okay.
So it is 1:37 right now I'm sorry, 1:38 right now in Paris. So it's 7 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
Just to so we can all set our clocks. Look, I know this is crazy, but yeah, I will be watching a lot of the Olympics. I love the idea of getting off work and going home and being able to watch some games on television. It's great. I had a great month of soccer with the Euros where the games were on at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was just perfect for me, 11 and 2. And I loved it. It didn't interfere with my baseball season or anything like that. I love these games being on when they're on. I will be checking. I mean, I have a general sense of going to the pool, going to the gymnastic floor when that stuff's going on. What I don't know and what I want to know is I swear to God, I'm not joking about this. I do want to see what Olympic breakdancing looks like. I'm curious. It's a new sport this year. What the hell is that? I think that if you watch the Olympics enough, you will see something like curling. And you'll be like, what is, like, this is so weird. Like, what? Why are they sweeping? And the next thing you know, we're calling around trying to plot a curling trip because that's a super cool thing to see and to want to do. And I think that kind of thing happens with different Olympic sports. I don't think we're going to be doing any breakdance tournaments. I'm just not feeling that we're all geared toward that. But I'm interested that there are some new sports in this. I'm interested. What was the sailing thing we heard about yesterday? I want to watch that. The 10-second sailing or whatever the heck it is. There's a local athlete involved in that stuff. I want to know what the local athletes are doing. So,
is that canoe slalom?
Is that it? Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
See? Or canoe sprint. Canoe sprint is what you're referring to.
Is that what I'm referring to? Okay. That was Alex told us about that yesterday, and I was kind of like, wow, that sounds kind of cool. It sounds like I have been at the racetrack, sadly, mainly like very late at night when they start doing that, you know, whatever it's called, the real fast sprints. So you're like betting on a race. You're looking at like the horse is trying to figure out. Next thing you know, you're watching like a 15-second sprint. Do you know what that is, Dustin? You ever seen that? It's hysterical. And I had money on it. Like, what? How did I get
caught
up in it?
Why did you have money on it?
Because it was late at night and I'd been out gambling all day. That's why. Mm-hmm. Not out of any rational explanation. But there are different Olympic things that I will definitely look in on. And there are the standards that I will definitely be watching. And I always have enjoyed Olympic boxing. And I think that the other thing is, like, I'm not a big rugby guy, But if you're watching rugby against two nations, it doesn't even matter who they are. If you're watching a water polo match against two nations, you can have a great time. It can be super cool, even if you don't know anything really about the sport or about the players on the field or whatever. I'm all over the Olympics. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
I think, yes, but we live in Chicago, and there's lots to do outside in the summertime.
So that's true.
It's like, if I lived in other parts of the country, I might have more appointment viewing than what we're talking about right
now. And that's a fair comment. But, I mean, and, you know, the other thing is, like, we got to monitor the Bears. We got to, you know, we're going out to practice next week.
Also.
We got to, you know, there is a lot on our sporting calendar that we have to be aware of. But it's just sort of in-between stuff, like filler stuff that's super cool. And I'm sure that there'll be some storyline or something that we'll get into connected to this that is unexpected at this moment.
Yeah. And I look, I'm excited to see what happens and then like that recap show at night. And
I want us to win. I want to win the Olympics. I don't just want to be in the Olympics. I want to see the U.S.
Did we have the most medals last time?
I don't think so. I don't think we've won in a while. But I want us to win. And I mean, I will in my mind justify that others are cheating and I actually did win.
Indicative of where we are as a nation.
There we go. That's it. That's it. It should be fun. Quarter horses. Thank you, buddy. Somebody just checked in with the quarter horse. Okay. All right. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Marshall Harris this morning. The number 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
Yeah, Raiders!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. So the Bears are in training camp, and they're getting the pads on today. And the Bears are behaving themselves, and they've got some good people up there. They've got a lot of good high character guys. The more I'm watching the Giants show, you know, the Hard Knocks on the Giants, and seeing Roma Dunze being interviewed, etc., the more I like him. What a really good guy he is. I think he's going to be a great player for the Bears. But I don't know if you saw this yesterday, that in Raiders camp, so the Las Vegas Raiders, they have a Kermit the Frog doll that they have with them in camp.
Yeah, a fan brought it.
A fan brought it. It's got a Mahomes shirt on it, and they're all like, they're in stitches. They're all falling down laughing as they're doing various like attempted impersonations of Kermit, because Patrick Mahomes has a very unique sounding voice, and he, you know, has a voice that where he sounds like Kermit the Frog, and so they're making fun of Patrick Mahomes as they prepare for their season. See, like the only problem with that
is a problem.
The minor problem is that Patrick Mahomes has a career 10-2 record against the Raiders. He's in their division. He wins the division year in and year out.
Eight straight
division titles. Are you allowed to make fun of a guy if he owns you? If he's your owner, it'd be like making fun of a certain Packers quarterback when he kind of had your number all those years.
I mean, the Bears
cannot like him. If you choose not to like him, that's fine. But are you allowed to kind of make fun of him?
Bears fans make fun of Aaron Rodgers all the time. We all actually make fun of Aaron Rodgers all the time because of some of the stuff that he has said over the years.
He's got it coming.
Some of his beliefs and everything else. As far as the Raiders, who finished 8-9 last year in that division, I wouldn't do it. I mean, not only are the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback 10-2, and that's one of two teams he's already got double-digit wins over, the other being the Denver Broncos, also in that same AFC West. But last I checked, he's got 3 Super Bowl wins, 4 appearances, and the last win came, Mully, remind me where that came?
Yeah, it came, I believe, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's where the Raiders play.
In their building, he won the world title over the Niners.
If it's the Death Star, he is Luke Skywalker coming through and blowing that thing up.
He's got a certain Darth Vader type dominance to him, right? I mean, I know he's a much kindler, gentler soul, but I'm just saying that is, I just don't know that you make fun of somebody that has your number. Like, beat him on the field And then maybe we could have a conversation.
They did twice.
Yeah, it's not as many as you think. It'd be nice to see the Bears beat the Packers twice. Because as you know,
it'd be nice to see the Bears beat the Packers once.
The Flower has never lost to the Bears.
It'd be nice to see the Packers lose to the Bears just once. Yeah. Like, yeah, before you can get to two, you got to count to one.
Le Fleur.
It's tough, man. It's tough out here when you have division rivalries and extra bulletin board material. And yeah, I wouldn't do it.
No, I would be careful with that stuff. We have a texter here saying that he's rooting for Le Flop and the spoiled brats to get their butts kicked. Now, I'm guessing that's LeBron and the NBA crew.
Why are they spoiled brats? Is he mad because LeBron's the flag bearer?
I don't understand.
Along with Coco Gauff?
I don't understand. I don't understand that. I'm really hopeful that the U.S. will dominate in the basketball competition. We need as many golds as we can get. And LeBron, say what you want about him, has been phenomenal. Thus far, he dominated the last two games, and he pulled that team out of
South Sudan.
I mean, you can make fun of South Sudan. They don't win that game unless LeBron takes over at the end of it. And that was certainly the case against Germany. He totally took over that game at the end of it. And you know, good for LeBron. It's good that he's playing, and it's good that that the U.S. men are as good as they are. I don't know if you watched. I think it was Kevin Durant. He did a news conference yesterday with
Steph Curry.
And it was very funny because they asked him, like, who are you most looking forward to playing? And Steph said, well, whoever we face in the gold medal game. And Durant's like, hey, that's a great answer. And Steph's like, thanks, man. It was so fun. But they were saying, like, Steph said something like, the dream team played against six NBA players when they were in the Olympics, and we're playing against six. Well, let's take a listen.
Who you think will be the biggest star this basketball tournament?
The biggest star? What, individual player?
Yes.
Giannis? Giannis, maybe? Jokic? No,
he's saying outside of the U.S. Options.
Yeah. Our game is global now, man. So all these guys are huge stars in their own ways, you know?
Did you see that thing where they said the Dream Team played against nine NBA players? It was like 60-something.
Yeah, we're playing 64 NBA players now. And, you know, so they're all the best of the best in the world, you know. So,
Who are you looking forward to the most to play against?
Whoever's in the gold medal game.
Good answer.
It is a good answer.
But it's interesting because I believe Canada, their entire team is NBA players.
Right. No, Canada's legit. That's why that gives them a pause.
They got 22 NBA players.
But the biggest, he was wrong about who the biggest star will be.
Well, he was outside of the U.S.
No, he's still wrong.
Okay, go on.
It's Wimby. What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? And he's the biggest star at the game.
Yeah, because he's
French.
Yeah.
And it's a return to Paris for Wimby. And it's a big deal.
Let me tell everybody, if you're a casual fan or if you're diehard, if you're diehard, you already know this is to be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Wimby might be the best player in the NBA next season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a problem. And just to see where he went from the start of the season to the end of the season and, you know, getting used to the NBA. And he's been playing international basketball his whole life, so yep, he understands that. So I'm interested to see what he does in this tournament. Team Canada is a problem. The U.S. has been in a lot of trouble. Like, these people who are like, so this team is better than the Dream Team.
That's nonsense.
And I'm like,
no.
Let me tell you something. Bam Adebayo is a great center, right?
Yeah.
Did you not see Patrick Ewing play? You can go position by position, however you want to do it.
I don't know what the final number will be if there are 10 guys on this team that'll make the Hall of Fame, but there were 11 on the Dream Team in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And like, one of them was the most competitive player ever played. One of them was, you know, I was saying the morning after the South Sudan game, Charles Barkley would have elbowed the South Sudanese in the chest like six times.
Yeah, and just
he'd have taken out
trying to run over people.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's disrespectful, I think. You know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I know these young people haven't seen the Dream Team.
Let's see them dominate. Let's see that happen. It seems to me that what we saw in the warm-up stages was a team that wasn't interested in. There were a lot of business decisions. There were a lot of guys, you know, they could use an Alex Caruso, a floor burn guy. They did not close down shooters. It was really a very upsetting to watch. But
it was interesting to watch. It was like, oh, y'all look real pedestrian out here.
That's it. You really don't care, do you?
I think, though, when it starts up, I think like Joel Embiid and company will play a little bit. You know,
and you
tougher.
Get into more of the role players on that team. All right. We've got a lot to get to. We're going to get to our guy, Brad Biggs. Biggs time next on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.